Yeah, my name's Paul Clayton.
And how old were you when the Falklands War started?
I was 20 when I actually went down to the Falklands. I joined at 18 and I did all my training at Woolwich Arsenal with the barracks there. And then I was sent out to Germany. The battery I was in, T battery, Shah Suja's troop, they was attached to 3 Commando Brigade, and it's called the Ace Mobile Force. And what it is a collection of like the Royal Marines, the Paras, the SAS, and basically if there's any conflicts or anything around the world, they're the ones that go first. And we was attached to them to give them air cover protection while ever, you know, there was setting up the beach, air dome, whatever. Never expected anything to happen, because up until that point there'd been the Northern Ireland conflict, and so it was just all more or less a bit of a formality. We did a bit of training, but that was it. And then April, we had a battery parade prior to us all going on leave, annual leave, for a couple of weeks, basically for the battery commander to tell us all to behave ourselves and not do anything stupid and come back. And but there was an air of it seemed different, and of course it was, because we thought it was coming to say, right, you can get yourself off. I'd even spoke to my mum on the landline to say it should be a couple of hours and I'll be home. So we were based at Curtin Lindsay then, back in UK, and I lived in West Yorkshire, which is only a couple of hours away. So I said I shouldn't be too long. Then we fell in for the parade, and the commanding officer said that, you know, your battery, T battery, your holiday's been cancelled, you leave, and you're on standby for the Falklands. We didn't know where it was. And
I found that really, when you said you thought you were going to Scotland.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
When did that sink in about where you were going?
Never.
And what were the conditions like?
As in,
the terrain and
the Falklands itself. That was one of the most difficult thing. I mean, we had all seasons in one day sometimes, but the coldest it was like minus 20. Plus we were all wet, because it was like the ground were covered in like tussocks of grass, and it was very peaty, a lot of water. So
did you feel prepared?
Well, if you think we were 20 at the time, we didn't know anything about the Falklands as such. So we were busy trying to get. We got told, I think it was on the 2nd of April, that we were confined to camp, we had to get everything ready to go. And on the 4th of April, we was on the ship. That's how quickly it happened. And we had to drive down there, and the regiment supported our battery by getting live missiles and bringing them down to the ship. But everything was sort of put on the ship to get us away. I managed, once we got there and we got our equipment on, I managed to be able to join a queue. There were a phone box on the dock side, and there was a big queue. And I managed to ring my mum and say, look, because she said, first of all, she said, where are you? And I says, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to make thing. We're getting sent to the Falklands. And I'll speak to you when I can. And she said, all right, take care. And that was the last time I spoke to her until we got back.
And how long was that?
We got back in October, something like that. But obviously, like I mentioned, there were no mobile phones, no nothing. So we were sort of kept in. We only knew what we were being told. But we had little blue envelopes that we could send. We used nickname and blue, we used to be able to send. So we used to send letters back, but we had to be careful. They got vetted to make sure we weren't putting anything in. But we set off. It was all excitement, but we all were at a point initially that we were going to get turned around, sent back. It was just a bit of a show of force. They'll get off the island and, you know, everything's done. And we were sailing, which we was on what they call LSLs, which are like the Galahad that got hit, unfortunately. But they've got a flat bottom on the ship. And what they do, or what they're made for, is they can either link the ships up front to back to make a bridgeway across the water, or they can drop the anchor off a beach. They can drive up onto the beach, open the front, let the vehicles off and the troops, and then lower the and winch themselves back off. And that's a landing ship. But we had to go down on these things through the Atlantic. Sometimes of 40-foot swells, and it just hit, you know, and it used, everything used to shear. Hence, you know, we thought it was going to have a problem with his equipment, and that we kept doing what we could do. But it wasn't until HMS Sheffield got it that we said that it's getting serious now. And the whole mood swung from the bravado, and it became serious. And we hung on every word from the World Service, the radio, because that's all we had.
I can't believe that you weren't involved.
And one of the funny things was we had to stop at Ascension Islands, which are 4,000 miles, halfway point. And we all thought Ascension Islands, hula girls, and, you know, we thought, oh, great palm trees and a bit swimming in the sea. But when we woke up and there it was like a volcano sticking up out of it. We couldn't go in the water because of the sharks and everything, even swimming around the ships. And but it was too rough, the water, and it was shelved, you know, with it being a volcano. So the drag, it was too dangerous. But it was still all right for us to do practice landing craft, you know, like on the Saving Private Ryan, which we did. I fell over, and anyway, I got soaked to the skin. But we slept under the stars that night, went back, and then we were cross-decking, make sure everything were on the right ship. We took one piece of equipment on to the island to see if we could test fire it, to see if it were working okay. Because we took 12 rapier units. There's normally about 4 people per unit. But we were just set up ready to fire. We got recalled back to the ship, and a week from then, I mean, it was 45 degrees in the shade. But within 3 days it was freezing, and what we got told was that within a week we'll be in the Falklands. The Belgrano had been hit, and they said that we had to zigzag all the time because of submarine threats, because they had Argentinian had a submarine which subsequently got to Santa Fe. Got put out of commission, but when we got down there, they said what we're going to do is we're going to have the ships fire salvos towards Port Stanley, near the airfield as it was there, to make them think that we're going in there. That's where the beach landing was. But as night falls, while the shelling's still going on, the rest are going round into San Carlos. And that's what happened. And then the rest is history, really, I suppose. How do
you look back on it? Because obviously it was a controversial war. You have PTSD.
Yeah. It's equal measures, really. I certainly am proud to have been there and done my bit. There were certain aspects of it that, although it's not by making, like the equipment not working straight away, and during the period it took to get us, it was only a matter of a day, but there were that many ships, people killed in that time, because they were coming into what they call the Sound, which is between East and West Falklands, and then they'd turn broadside to come into the San Carlos Bay, where there'd be the beachhead. But the Argentinian Air Force used to fly normally in fours with the Mirage jets, and as they came broadside, they just used to open up and all the ship, you know, you could see the blokes on the side with the machine gun firing, but they were firing everything at them. And there's a picture of one that blew up at night, dusk, and it lit the old beach and up the old San Carlos waters, and it broke in half. I had a lot of different things, and the weather, and I was classed as old at 20. We had one lad, Callahan, he was 17, and he had to have permission off his mum and dad to come to the Falklands. And I've never met a braver lad. He actually joined Special Forces later on in his career, and he ended up being on the Royal Protection. I could see why, because it was his calmness under fire. He was just, you know, he was not a jot. You'd have thought he were in a different planet, really. But there are a lot of others that, you know, everybody takes it differently. The panic, the blind panic, the crying, running around, giving his positions away and that. So, you know, we had to manage that as well as manage what we're meant to be doing as well. And I found that good for me, because it kept me in check, because I'm concentrating on everybody else. And that's where that comrade thing comes in, you know, you look after each other. And but there were a lot of things that were not so pleasant, and that strikes it. Also the fact that there were a lot of people that didn't get the opportunity to come back. And when we got back, initially as well, because I think it were the miners' strike and all that were about that peak as well, and there were people saying that the Falklands want a war, you know, it was just long enough to be classed as a war. And I was seeing it from a point that, you know, people were, they went down there to fight for the country, and they were being dismissive of it. So there were all these emotions going on, and then it settles, and I never used to go to any reunions or anything. I just got concentrated. Two young lads, who are both, my youngest now is 35, you know, to get on, get a job. I stayed in the army. I was at my 9-year point, and both my younger brothers joined up because of the Falklands, because they came to, they saw me come back and they saw all the nice things. But they both ended up doing 25 years, 23 years, one in the military police, one in, he served in Bosnia, and, but my mum and my dad split up, and my mum became very ill, because smoking was a big thing then, and she got emphysema and angina, and neighbours were rallying around looking after her, and I thought, I'm the eldest, so I felt a responsibility. So I spoke to my unit and said, look, I need to go, call it quits at 9 years, I want to go and look after my mum, and I have somewhere where my brothers can come on leave. So that's what I did.